Roger Marks is a retired state petroleum economist. I called him to ask what all of the tension in the Middle East was going to do to oil prices.
You know, nobody knows. Anyone who tells you they know, that's a sign they don't know what they're talking about. So
Marks worked in Alaska's Department of Revenue, watching what was happening politically and the oil market's response to it for 25 years.
Right. I was there when Iraq invaded Kuwait. You know, I was there when the U.S. invaded Iraq both times.
For decades, disruptions in the Middle East caused a lot of sustained turmoil in the oil market. Mark says during the first Gulf War in the early 90s, prices jumped up and stayed up for almost a year. And they did jump up last week. Alaska North Slope crude got to nearly $71 on January 7th. But they dropped pretty dramatically the next day, and that in part is because the world is very different now than it was in the 90s or in the early 2000s. Marks points to the attacks on an oil field and processing facility in Saudi Arabia in September. That knocked out more than 5% of the world's daily oil production. It was the biggest disruption to global oil supply in decades, and Alaska North Slope crude prices jumped to their highest in months, adding nearly $8 for one day. Then they dropped right back down. And for Alaska, a one-day spike in oil prices just doesn't really mean much for the state's bottom line. But that dynamic, the oil market shrugging off attacks on oil and gas infrastructure in the Middle East, there are some economists cautioning that it's probably not going to last forever. Richard Nephew is a senior research scholar at the Center on Global Energy Policy at Columbia University. But he used to work for the U.S. government at the State Department. There, he was the lead sanctions person during the negotiations with Iran under President Barack Obama. And Nephew says there are three reasons the oil market isn't as reactive to geopolitics in the Middle East as it used to be. The first, right now, there's enough supply that there's kind of a sense that small, short-term disruptions can be handled. There's enough oil coming from other sources, like Alaska and other parts of the U.S., Venezuela, Libya.
You know, there is enough oil that's just sort of floating around that disruptions in any one of those places can be made up for by supply in many other places.
The second, global demand for crude oil isn't growing like it used to. And finally, recent disruptions have been short-lived. After the attack in September, Saudi Arabia brought its oil production back online within a few days.
Here, you know, we had a spike, and then both Trump and the Iranians said, but we're going to leave the military responses here, so you see things relax.
Nephew says he thinks the people driving the oil markets have gotten complacent. They worry about the possibility of a major disruption in supply in the Middle East, but
they've kind of internalized this idea, but that probably won't happen.
Nephew says that false confidence is a big problem right now because the expectation is that there will be these sharp swings in prices and then things will calm down. But he points out that while Iran may have discounted further military action, there is still the very real possibility that the country could retaliate. And if that happens, if, for instance, Iran were to shut down the Strait of Hormuz that separates it from the Arabian Peninsula, more than 20% of the world's supply of oil comes through there.
The day that we don't have things calm down, the day we do have sustained production losses of 5 million barrels a day or something like that, that's when you're going to see a tremendous rise in prices, and it probably will be sustained for a pretty long period of time.
To balance Alaska's budget, prices would have to hit $91 a barrel and stay there. And from Alaska's Energy Desk in Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.